This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
You read about it in the Wall Street Journal, it's already too late.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways.
The only problem you're going to have is that you didn't buy more.
Let me lock in that trade right now and get back to you with my secretary with an exact confirmation.
Buy or sell time, Angel. Here we go. Are you buying or selling that the Colorado Rockies are worse, are a worse baseball team than they were last year? They were a, what are they, are they 4-15?
4-14.
Are you sure? I thought they got number 15 last night. Well, either way, it doesn't matter. They were 5-14.
15.
They were 5-14 on Wednesday, April 19th last year. Almost. Give one, they're one win, they were one win better last year. Are they better or worse than they were a season ago? Buying that.
I'm going to buy it. Last year still kind of felt like the Rockies will surprise us for a series or two, and maybe they'll just have a good game once in a while. This year, it's mixed with the expectations and the whole youth movement. It's been kind of disappointing.
Yeah, man, it's. I mean, they've got a couple of guys you're still happy, you're excited about. I mean, when I say excited, I use that, you know, very loosely.
I at least know your name.
Tovar's cool.
I mean, he's not.
That's it. That's all I'm excited about.
He's not the best hitter on the team. He's not making superstar plays, or, you know, this team just doesn't. It's not good.
They were, okay, buy or sell this. They were 34-57 at the All-Star break last year by July 9th. 34 wins. They won 34 games. Are they winning more or less than 34 games before the All-Star break this year, which is early July?
I'm going to say 30 or less.
30 or less. I'm right there. I think it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt bad. Transfer rule. It's official. Within the portal windows, you can enter that portal anytime or any year, as many times as you want, as long as you're doing it inside the portal windows. And just gut reaction, buy or sell this idea.
Buy it, because there's no selling it at this point. This is where college athletics are going, and at this point, there's nothing you're going to put into way to just kind of mitigate this.
So my chat yesterday with Nico Medved, did you get a sense from him that it was like, with all the changes going on and all the other stuff, I kind of want to stay where people really want me right now and the pressure is not that high? Now, say they don't want to win, but I'm good competing in the Mount West. Do you think that there's going to be a sense of great coaches that are more or less like, I'm actually okay taking a million less or two, as long as I'm paid well, and staying in an environment where I am the man, because given the nature of college athletics now, the pressure is going to be unrelentless.
Yeah, I mean, you look at a guy like Nate Oates at Alabama, just went to the Final Four. Three starters have gone to the transfer portal since their season ended, and he's just expected to, oh, replace it. You went to the Final Four. You should be able to recruit, and he should. But why does he have to face that pressure? Why are guys that were in the Final
Four understand that
wanting to leave?
That was wild to see that. You're almost as close as you can get to winning a title without winning a title.
Yeah,
and you're,
I mean,
transferring out?
College basketball used to be the one and done because you would go to the NBA after your freshman year. Now it's one and done at the school.
And, like, why did Haley? Is it the
LSU player?
Yeah. Why did she transfer to TCU?
I think that was more of a didn't fit with the team and the scheme of the system, but still, why did she transfer to LSU to start with?
So goodbye are the days of saying, well, you know, year one, he was just kind of trying to, she or he was just trying to figure it out and fit in the system. Year two is going to be, there's none of that anymore. It's going to be all like, better figure it out. You got 30 plus games to figure it out.
Now it's, hey, you have four roster spots. Go get a great another great player as if there's tons of them out there.
I think coaches are going to be like, I sensed it in coach, and I'm not, this is not a slight at all. I think it's a very, it's a positive thing by Medved, but I sensed it in his voice almost. It's like, I got a good thing going here. And out there, more than ever, this is way different than when Jim McElwain left CSU to go to Florida. The pressure is outrageous. You better be able to come here and attract big-time names fast. And you better be able to, you know, help bolster up the collective. Yeah, pressure's crazy, man. Okay, we asked the Steph Curry question yesterday, Angel, but let me ask you the Warriors one. Buy or sell, the Warriors dynasty is done. We'll never see Curry, Clay, or Draymond win another title together.
I'm buying that. Obviously, Klay Thompson's going to be a free agent this offseason. They bring him back. What's the future with Steph? I lean more towards he'll be there until he's done playing. And there are reports about people in the Warriors organization that are getting worn out with Draymond Green.
I think it's an interesting time for Mike Dunleavy, who took over for Bob Myers as general manager last offseason. Bob Myers assembled that team. He drafted those guys. He hired Steve Kerr. He made all those big-time decisions. What has Mike Dunleavy done?
I don't know. I don't know who do they have as their next core kind of guy.
Yeah, I mean, this is what happens, though. I mean, dynasties are great. How do you rebound? Once you've sensed that it's the end, you got to be quick. And it hasn't been that long since they won their last title, but people are not used to Golden State suddenly not being in the actual playoffs.
No, because, I mean, you know, we had 4, 5, 6 years of the Splash Brothers and Draymond defensive player and Steve Kerr's this great head coach, and they're winning, you know, 50, 60-plus games every season. Those days, you know, they don't last forever. And, you know, Steph is still a great player, and I think you could still keep him on the team and try to rebuild it in his last few years. But, no, they're not going to go on that type of run again.
Buy or sell. Freakout time for the Colorado Buffaloes football team.
I'd buy it. I think there's, you know, Prime fans are going to say, no, nothing's wrong. Everything's perfectly peaceful over here. Look, they're making videos in practice, and it's fun. And so what Shiloh wants to post on his Instagram to recruit players? He could do that. Yeah, but it's a little strange.
I think it looks, I don't know why, but the Shiloh post just, it has a weird, just left a weird taste, you know? Hey, you want to come here? Message me. Message my brother. This ain't last chance you, by the way. You know, this isn't your last opportunity. You better be ready to bring it. Message me. I'll approve it. That's how it sounded like. I'll approve whether you're worthy of talking to my dad.
Yeah, and, you know, we throw out the daddy ball stuff, and maybe some of that's true, maybe some of it isn't, but posts like that are going to be interpreted in that way if you're looking at it from that perspective.
Yeah. All right,
of course Dion wants his kids to recruit. They're his kids. They know him best.
And they know how to recruit. Kids can recruit kids better than older men can, probably. I would imagine.
Sure.
On that note, on the freakout note, in the wake of how many players now entered the portal? 14?
Yeah,
14 now. Dion says, we're good. I trust the recruiting team. I trust our coaches. Please have some faith in me, Sanders said. We good. We all right. We all right. Said, I think we got some starting caliber players coming in from visits pretty soon, maybe even this weekend, but we can attract those type of players. I don't think we're losing those type of players. And if we do, we're good. We're good. We're making a big deal out of nothing. Well, let me defend him for a moment. Because if a player, okay, a player is able to transfer now whenever they want. how do we know? And it sounded like this Cormani McClain, this former five-star corner, wasn't doing all the right things. Not bad things. He just wasn't going to class as much. He wasn't maybe going to certain meetings. And I don't know what all that entails, but our conversation yesterday with Brian Howell was interesting. There is a point where some of these players just didn't live up to his expectations. So he's basically like, hey, I'm going to take advantage of the portal the other way. Get out. Make room for these guys. There is that. That's 14. That means 14 misses. You missed on 14 guys. So it's good and bad, I guess.
Yeah, and it would be a little more tolerable if they were 6, 7, 8 win team last year. But they weren't. They were hyped. Everyone loved them for the first month, and then no one talked about them.
Flying Dutchman says, totally sell that it's freakout time for the Buffs. They are just getting started to end soon, because primetime's on his last year already, probably.
It went from we come into, we're all right. We're okay.
We're good. It's a lot of hype, man. We worried about that, or I know you didn't worry about it. I worried about it. It's a lot of hype. You built this thing up like you're going to be the next thing. You got celebrities coming out. You got The Rock announcing you. You got Lil Wayne out there singing songs. And you got a lot of people. Stephen A. was terrified in Boulder. Like, he wouldn't dare be the Stephen A. shtick that you see on ESPN. That was not the Stephen A. that was sitting right next to primetime. It was not, you got to get your... It was none of that WWF stuff. He was just like... He said, if you guys are successful... And remember, primetime cut him off? What do you mean, if? Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. When you guys are... He turned these larger-than-life personalities into mortal men. But yet, they won 4 games. And you have a lot of people entering the portal.
Yeah, and this comes, you know, we talk about it. It comes up with any team that loses a number of guys in the portal. Everyone starts going, oh, what's going on in Columbus? What's going on in Tuscaloosa? What's going on in Boulder? Just because you're primetime doesn't mean you're going to get excused from it because it's only your second year. That doesn't work anymore.
Well, when does it grow, when does it grow tiring? Because I look at primetime and I'm entertained by him. But I also feel like sometimes I'm like, it's got to be exhausting to be him. Because he's always on. I mean, Brian's telling us yesterday, there's a guy that we don't see that's busting his tail, you know? He's working hard. He is evaluating. He's doing everything he needs to do. All we see is the cover. Is, you know, this shiny, shiny cover that's constantly got to be throwing out little one-liners and slogans and all that. Got to be exhausting to be him. But then you wonder about fans, too. When does the shtick get old? Is it after another losing season?
Well, we talk about fans. What about players? What about players that I want to have a real good one-on-one relationship with my coach, but half the time he's over there making videos or he's doing interviews or on podcasts. When it's like, hey, coach, I'm having a rough day. Can I sit in your office and talk to you?
Where did they go during the coach meeting thing when all the new coaches were getting to town and it was going to be an official meet and greet with all the coaches and all the players were asked to be there, except Shador and Shiloh were modeling
in Paris.
Modeling pants or whatever in Paris. Like, we talk about it. They're living it. So we talk about it because we see it on the outward and we're going, oh, and then there's the diehard primetime fans. Like, no, that's not a big deal. They're in Paris modeling pants. Let them do it. You don't think that there are some players, if not a lot of players in that locker room that are like, we were told that if we missed this, there'd be consequences. And Daddy Ball has allowed them to go and model and not be here to meet and greet with the new staff. It's a bad look.
No, and you talk about the hardworking coach versus the on-camera primetime. There can also be hardworking, dedicated coach and Daddy Ball. They can both exist.
Flying Dutchman says, when was the last time Colorado had the preseason consensus pick as best player in college football? Fans should be excited, not freaking out.
That's one player.
Yeah, but... How many stud players are we talking about right now on April 18th for next season? How many guys are we looking at going, they're going to be the best players?
I don't know. We're in draft season right now, so we're not looking at the next guys yet.
Flying Dutchman says, sounds a lot like Greeley is looking for Boulder to fail. What does that mean, Greeley? I don't even live in Greeley, bro. What does that mean? Sounds like Greeley is looking for Boulder to fail.
We're not rooting for Boulder to fail or trying to poke holes. It's just this conversation comes up with any program.
I've never rooted against CU a day in my life and unless I picked them to lose to CSU. You know, I root for my pick.
If Ohio State has five kids enter the portal in a day or two, everyone's, oh, what's going on in Ohio State? What's going on? It's the same thing for Boulder. Yeah. They're not excluded because Prime can do no wrong over there.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, but the Shador, like, they have the best player in the world or whatever coming up. Okay, great. They just had 14 players enter the transfer portal yesterday.
And so, they may get 14 guys that come in that are better than them. We have to wait and see.
Maybe.
But the conversation right now is, why are these players leaving when everyone wanted to be at CU last year?
Smitty says, Deion's shtick wore out for me when he dumped an ice bucket on Tim McCarver's head because McCarver was slightly critical of Neon Deion. So that a long time ago. And I always liked Deion. You know, you know me, Angel. I like personalities. I also like lack of personalities. I like differences. I like just I like guys that can be robots out there, and it's they go up and shake the hand after they score a touchdown, and they're just businesslike. I like that. But I also like a guy going in and pulling a Sharpie out of his sock and signing autographs and throwing a football in the stands. I like it all. It entertains me. It keeps me guessing. It's muscle confusion in my brain. So I like primetime. I root for the Buffs. I will be rooting for them. But I have to be critical where criticism needs to fall in here. It ain't perfect with primetime. He is not perfect. Jay Norvell has some things that I've questioned. Not necessarily his personality, but I've questioned his on-the-field decision-making. What did I call for air raid? The conservative air raid. That's what Norvell's running. That frustrates me. But you doesn't mean I'm rooting against him. Unfortunately, with the Buffaloes, you can evaluate their on the field stuff, but you can also evaluate primetime. It's worth evaluating, man. 22 minutes after the hour. Quick break coming up. I got Kevin Lytle from the Coloradoan joining us. He is our CSU Rams insider. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. That'll pump you up right there. Tell you what, man, it's fitting. Kevin Lytle joining us now from the Colorado and our Colorado State Rams insider. And Kevin, my man, happy birthday to you. We went a little happy birthday medal there for you. We thought you might like it.
Love it. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Angel wrote that and performed it and everything, man. I mean, he stayed up all night trying to get that done. You know, he's quite the musician.
It's just perfection.
Kevin, I had John Weber on, and I really like John Weber, but I'll be honest, he didn't want to give me much. I said, hey, you want to be the AD? When's it going to happen? When are we going to know? I probably shouldn't have been as direct as I was, but you know, he was very politically correct, I suppose. But come on, Kevin. Come on. He's going to be the next athletic director for CSU, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the signs point to that. I mean, you don't hear anything about, you know, a big search ongoing or anything like that. You know, it seems like him and Amy Parsons seem to be, you know, working together on a lot of different things. So, you know, never say never. Things can change, but it seems like he is the, you know, lead candidate to be in that spot long term.
Well, when you had conversations with him, Kevin, I mean, didn't he kind of make it sound like, yeah, I do want this job?
It has seemed like it. I'm not sure if he's ever straight up said. It seems like every time he's asked, he says, you know, something along the lines of, you know, want to do what's best for Colorado State, which is, I think, both accurate, but also, you know, a way to kind of evade around the, you know, answering directly a little bit, but yeah, it seems, like I say, it seems to me like he's the most likely candidate to be in that role, you know, as the full-time AD.
What if, as far as like a timeline, like, first off, when do you think we'll know for sure? And then secondly, Kevin, have you heard any other names? Has there been any kind of a search for the next AD?
No, I mean, I really haven't. Amy Parsons, when I asked her out in Charlotte around the NCAA tournament about timeline, she said wanted to have all, you know, those athletic department positions filled by the start of football season. And by that, you know, it meant more than just the AD. Obviously, we know Steve Cottingham has left and any other vacancies have them filled by football season. So, you know, basically August. And so you kind of work backwards of if you want those filled by August, you figure you want the full-time AD doing the filling of those roles, which would mean, you know, before August for them. So, you know, I think early summer or even late spring here is probably the timeline. It seems like a natural fit to, you know, announce whoever the full-time AD is, you know, roughly around, you know, the end of the school year, because the summer is a somewhat natural time to transition.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Coloradoan. Kevin, talked to Nico Medved yesterday, pretty fresh off of the news about his contract extension. And then I see the news today about the transfer portal thing of how that's a go. You know, guys can, as long as it's in the window, they're going to be able to transfer every single year if they really want to. In my conversation with Coach yesterday, it almost, reading between the lines a bit, it almost just sounded like, I got a good thing going here, and with the way college sports are changing every single day, it seems like, I don't know that I want to jump out right now. I don't know if now's the best time. It almost seemed like this is the time to just stay where I've created a foundation.
Yeah, I mean, I could understand why a coach would feel that way. There's a lot of chaos, and changing your job obviously just creates more chaos. So I can see what, you know, why a coach would feel that way. And like you say, Medved, you know, there are certainly challenges here. You know, we, you know, pretty publicly know about some, you know, transfer portal guys CSU has missed out on, but it's also, you know, a job where he has a lot of support here from the fan base. Obviously he just got a big raise, so he has support there. I think CSU is building up, you know, the NIL thing. They have a good, you know, assistant staff for him. So you can understand why a coach would be like, you know what, the grass isn't always greener. And right now, you know, maybe the greenest grass is right here.
Kevin, talk to us about some of those guys that entered the portal, or just bigger names that we kind of thought might be a reality for Colorado State. It just seems like they're striking out the last couple of days.
Yeah. I mean, Kerry Booth was the big fish, you know, son of the Nuggets GM. He was at Notre Dame, a four-star recruit. He came on a visit to CSU, which even getting that was, you know, a pretty big surprise, in some ways a win for CSU. He ended up at Illinois, so that's, yeah, obviously would have been a massive deal if you got him, but that's one you don't really expect. And you know, I think losing out to Illinois on a transfer is probably not a shock. The tough one today for CSU was Trevor Baskin, the Colorado Mesa star. He was, you know, he was going to be between CU and CSU, so it's sort of a double whammy of not only a guy that you wanted, but you don't want to lose him to a rival as well. So he committed to Colorado today, so that's, you know, a bummer for CSU, you know, who was trying to do, you know, another one of those D2 stars, which they've had a lot of success in. There have been a couple guards that CSU has had on visits that have committed elsewhere, but this is also part of the game. I mean, they've had, you know, more visits than spots available, so you know there are going to be some no's. Obviously, those aren't the only good players in the portal, so it, you know, it's not like it's all doom and gloom, but, you know, CSU has missed out on a couple targets, which is part of the game, but is also, you know, frustrating for everyone involved, I'm sure. So still TBA on who that first transfer in will be, but, you know, people love, you know, getting angsty and everything on social media, but it's not a race to see who signs the team first. It's about who signs the best team. So I'd say patience, and, you know, the staff has pretty good success, history of success in finding these players. So we'll see who they are.
Kevin, staying on the basketball side, Neat Clifford put his name in the NBA draft. You and I were going back and forth about this because the way he worded it, you know, most of the time you see this, guys will word it in a way that says, I am entering my name in the NBA draft while still maintaining my eligibility. He did not do that. So I asked Coach directly yesterday if there's the window to come back or the door to come back, and Nico said, heck yeah. So even though that was kind of a vague message put out there, it does sound like if it's either the NBA or Colorado State for Neek.
Yeah, definitely. It's pretty much the same path that Isaiah Stevens did last year, David Roddy before, of going to explore, you know, the pro options and leave the door open and return to college. And everything I've heard is that if Neek were to return to college, it would be at Colorado State. He's not looking to transfer anything like that. The guys that would be looking at that, they usually do them both at the same time of I'm entering the portal and entering the draft. Obviously, he didn't do that. So, yeah, I think it's pro or CSU for Neek Clifford. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, combine or whatever evaluations go for him, because he's obviously an incredibly good athlete who does a lot of things very well, but obviously, as we know, just making the NBA is really hard.
Yeah, no question about it. Kevin Lytle joining us. Kevin, I have received a lot of these messages in the last 2 days, and I just want to ask you, if you don't know, we don't have to get into it, but there's a couple of texts here. I've heard, I'll just read it from this one, I've heard Nico has a $600,000 NIL ask from the Green and Gold Guard. A lot of these texters and messengers really wanted me to ask you that question to know if that's true or what you've heard.
Yeah, I don't know the exact number of what CSU's, you know, kind of NIL fund is for the men's basketball team. But, yeah, that's in the general area of where I've heard they want it to be and think that they can be – well, I mean, I shouldn't say want to be. They would want it to be $20 million if that were feasible, but – feasibly want it to be somewhere in that realm and think that they can be, you know, Mountain West competitive with, you know, kind of around that number. So, you know, within some wiggle room, I think that's a reasonable number.
How does this work, Kevin? Because, you know, when it first started, I was like, the coaches can't even speak that into existence. And now it can kind of be, hey, here's the amount of money we need. Blah, 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 blah. Is that basically it? Neko Medved can contact them and say, here's the amount of money we think it's going to take to be competitive. Good luck. See you later.
Yeah, I mean, in practicality, that's probably at least in the vein. I mean, there's sort of the rules and then the reality. And we all know, I mean, how many stories do we have to hear about transfers, you know, getting promised this or that, which obviously means there's communication between coaching staffs and NIL and all that. So, you know, it's one of those, no, they can't directly do that. You know, the Tennessee lawsuit started basically because they had a booster meet with a recruit on a visit and, you know, basically promised them X dollars or whatever it was, which you can't do. Although, again, now that went to court, so maybe you kind of can do it. You know, there just kind of are no rules right now because the NCAA, anytime they go to court, they get beat, which means rules get thrown out the window. And again, I'll always circle back to the NCAA could have seen this coming and put in some guardrails, but instead they just fought against players getting any money, and now they're just getting abused in court nonstop.
Yeah, it's wild, man. It's all wild, all of it. Kevin Lytle joining us from the Coloradoan. Kevin, on the football side of things, mainly for the name alone, but I don't know where he was going to be on the depth chart, but I was bummed out to see Van Shield enter the portal.
Yeah, definitely. He is a guy that, you know, due to circumstance, really was thrust into a big role last year with injuries and everything, and he really played well, and the guy runs so hard. I don't think you could ask Van Shield to do any more than he did. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes. He's a guy that I think can play, you know, somewhere. He's, you know, not the most explosive back in the world or anything like that, but he's a solid player who, like you say, runs his tail off. So yeah, it's probably not a surprise that a running back entered the portal because we know CSU is really deep there now. But I think it's also fair, like you say, you know, Van kind of made himself into one of those fan favorites. I think it's fair to kind of be bummed for fans to see him.
Talk about an NIL deal there, man. He could have done something with the Shield thing.
You would think someone could make that work, right?
There's so many opportunities. You were out at practice today. A little snowy for you out there, Kevin. I hope you had your mittens on.
Yeah, one of our classic Colorado spring snowstorms. You had players out there helping shovel. You know, it kind of came out of nowhere, a surprise snowstorm. So you had players out there helping shovel, clear it out, and in a way, I think it kind of led to a fun final day of spring practices. Obviously, they have the spring game Saturday, but this is the last true practice. So, yeah, it was a cold, chilly, wet morning, but kind of fun.
Got a texter here, Kevin, from the 970. Says, third best tailgater here, texting in. First, happy birthday to cool Kevin. Second, what's the most insulting tweet or social media he has ever received? Kevin, I'm sure you never get any of those.
No, I've never had a single one. People are just really encouraging and insightful and thoughtful in their tweets generally. The list of them is long, and honestly, a lot of the people that send the worst ones, I've probably muted, if we're being honest. It's fine. I let those roll off my back. I get a chuckle out of them. You know, text them around to some people sometimes. I'm like, oh, man, can't believe they said this. So it's fine. It's part of the job. I'm sure Showdown Week next year, in the fall here, we'll probably get a few candidates for that one.
I mean, even I'm affected by that, Kevin. I am not. I'm looking forward to the game. This is everything I've dreamt of. I want the Rocky Mountain Showdown to mean something and be talked about. But I guess when they say be careful what you ask for, but careful what you wish for, you just might get it. We did. It was major. And any of us that are, you know, whether we're fully involved with CSU or semi-involved, any tweet you made that might be deemed in, you know, CSU's favor, look out, because the primetime mafia was coming after you.
Yeah, it's going to be loud on social media those couple weeks, that's for sure.
Yeah, well. Hey, last one for you, Kevin. Mo Kamara, where do you think he's going in the draft?
Man, I've seen projections kind of all over the map. You have some of these pundits who are, you know, kind of really in love with his game, and then I've seen others that have Mo down as like a fifth or sixth round guy. Some get kind of split the difference from, you know, some of the high ones and some of the low ones. I'm going to say he's going to be a fourth rounder.
Fourth rounder in the blue and orange, Kevin? What do you think?
That would be cool, certainly. You know, see if he can almost do like a Shaq Barrett 2.0 thing. Obviously, Shaq was undrafted, but yeah, who knows? I think that would be very cool, but I also think just mathematically that's probably pretty unlikely. But yeah, Mo's a guy that I think will step in and help a team. You know, he may not be a superstar, but I think he can be an effective player right away.
I'd love to see him on a regular basis, no question. Kevin, I said last one. This is the real last one. We saw, you know, Rashard Higgins, former CSU wide receiver. You played for the Cleveland Browns. Called it a career, man. I just wanted to get your thoughts on him.
Yeah, absolutely, Rashard. You know, he had some ups and downs in the pros, but some really nice successes. And still, you know, has a pretty good argument as the best receiver in Colorado State history, which is, you know, a pretty good debate that you can have at that position. So, yeah, Rashard, you know, really good player. I wasn't covering the team when he is here, but I've talked to him several times when he's been back in Fort Collins. Seems a, you know, very likable guy. And yeah, kudos to him on a great career and, you know, a lot of success, and certainly a guy that's very fondly remembered in Fort Collins.
Well, I remember a marketing campaign one year, and I still have it in my office. It's an unopened bag of popcorn, and it's the Hollywood Higgins popcorn bag there. So I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, man, Higgins probably wishes he was playing now. That could have been a nice NIL deal for him.
Absolutely. I mean, a guy came in with the nickname Hollywood and then did what he did at CSU. That would have been a very NIL high possibility there.
Kevin, appreciate you as always, my man. Happy birthday to you. Go do something fun tonight, and we'll maybe I'll see you Saturday, but either way, we'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds great. Thank you, Brady.
Kevin Lytle, the birthday boy, works for the Colorado, and he's our CSU Rams insider. Outstanding stuff from him. 43 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place. after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I got an Avs alert enter for you guys to win. Check this out. Avs faithful. You want a shot at a signed Nathan MacKinnon jersey? Subscribe to Avs Alert to stay up to date with everything Avalanche. All new subscribers will be entered to win. Don't miss out. Head to coloradoavalanche.com/avalanche alert to enter today. Welcome back into the show. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. All right, Angel, we probably don't have the time to do this, do we? We're going to do the case for Brock Bowers. We could do that. We could bust into that. We have time? We have time? You give me the green light. Case for Brock Bowers. Let's go.
Throw it back the other way to Bowers. Bowers. Touchdown. Georgia.
Beck. Plenty of time. Down the middle. Guess who? Brock Bowers. Bowers heading to the end zone. Touchdown, Georgia.
The case for Brock Bowers at 12. I saw a mock draft yesterday that has him going 15 to the Colts. We've busted through Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. What about Brock Bowers, the tight end? The Broncos have struggled finding a tight end, whether that's through the draft or free agency. Everything on paper says this guy's a sure thing. A year one starter. He's 6'3", big, 240. Is he 240? He's a big dude. He's good size. He's got the ability. He's the trifecta tight end, Angel. He can block. He can play out in the wide, and he can catch. He's a red zone threat, and he can obviously has great hands. His blocking ability is very good. His red zone ability is sensational. Listen, there's no doubt he's the best tight end, and in the draft. And his comparison is to Kittle. Could he be like that? You'd love that if you could get a guy like that. Do you take him at 12 if he's there and Bo Nix is there and Michael Penix Jr. is there? Right now, I'm assessing this later on, but I'm not saying no to Brock Bowers. I haven't said no to Bo Nix. I haven't said no to Michael Penix Jr. I haven't said no to Brock Bowers. I would be satisfied with either one of those guys at 12 so far. Good? Good 12 there for you, Angel? Would you like that pick?
Yeah, I think if those three guys are right there on the board, you go with BPA and it's Brock Bowers.
Yeah, he would be that guy. I think he's a day one impactor. He's a big-time tight end. All right, 50 minutes after the hour, 10 minutes until the next one. We're going to take a short break here. Don't forget, we have Avs and Oilers tonight here on KFKA. We've got Nuggets playoff coverage for you here. Love our partnership with Altitude Radio. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hear it again. Podcasts are available at 1310kfk.com.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say?
All right, what do we learn on this 18th day of April? I learned that, there's a lot of reason to be concerned about the Colorado Avalanche as they get set for round one of the NHL playoffs, of the Stanley Cup playoffs, against the Winnipeg Jets. I think they need a win tonight, and I still don't know if that's going to be the confidence boost you need, but They certainly need to get something going. They need to feel good about themselves heading in. Angel, what'd you learn?
I learned that the Nuggets have the right motivation when it comes to facing this Lakers team. You got to throw out the last 8 games. It doesn't matter. This is a new series. These teams know each other well. There's going to be some moments where you're going to have to figure things out, try new things. But I'm excited for the playoffs to get going.
I am too. And we're going to talk about matchups tomorrow. But Aaron Gordon, LeBron James, let's discuss that one in detail tomorrow on the whole show. That'll do it for us. Avs Oilers tonight on KFKA. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.